Christ is on the throne.
Amen.
Christ is here.
Amen.
Christ is in us.
Amen.
So we're not focused on doctrine. We're realizing when the Lord is shining in us and shepherding us, He will lead us personally and corporately to know Him, to experience Him, and to enjoy Him. Here the subject is Christ having the keys of death and Hades. We'll come to this. It's like we're climbing a mountain, but there's some very crucial points leading to that, and something, a particular matter, probably hundreds or a couple thousands in this room have never heard about this particular word and what that word applies to the depths of our being. So I'm mentioning this to get your attention. And remember, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
I'm here and you're there, but actually we are in harmony, in oneness.
Yeah.
Okay. I am the first and the last and the living one. Christ being the first and the last implies that He will accomplish what He has begun. This is His way. When He starts something, He will complete it. The Lord Jesus is not only the first, but also the beginning. And not only the last, but also the end. The first indicates that none is before Him. And the last, that none is after Him.
Amen.
None is after Him.
Amen.
The beginning indicates that He is the origination of all things. And the end, that He is the consummation of all things.
Amen.
What He originates, He consummates.
Amen.
And this is a procedure that is going on inwardly, right here, right now, in all of us. I would emphasize this. This is not just words. This is a testimony of the Christ we are speaking concerning. The indication here is not only that there is nothing before or after the Lord Jesus, but also there is no origination or consummation without Him. Christ is not only the first and the last, but also the beginning and the end. This assures us that having started the church life, He will surely accomplish it.
Amen.
In every church in the recovery, what the Lord started, He will complete. And I believe in the next year, He's going to do a lot in all the churches.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus will never leave His work unfinished. All the local churches must believe that the Lord Jesus is the beginning and the end. He will accomplish what He has begun in His recovery. the Christ who walks in the midst of the churches, who is the head of the churches, and to whom the churches belong, is the living one. Hence, the churches also are the expression of the body, should be living, fresh, and strong.
Amen.
No matter how young you are, and no matter how old you are living, fresh, and strong.
Amen.
Now we begin to get to the burden. Point two, I became dead, and behold, I am living forever and ever.
Amen.
Christ paid a tremendous price, a cost, for each one of us and for all of us. He died for our redemption. He became dead. And behold, he's living forever and ever. So the Christ who is functioning here, and the Christ who is very active in our being, is the Christ who became dead and then was resurrected. The Lord suffered death and lived again. Now, point B is crucial. Christ entered into death, but death could not hold him.
Amen.
Because he is the resurrection.
Amen.
I suggest a little prayer reading on John 11:25, where he spoke of himself, I am resurrection. It's not only something that he experienced, it's what he is. And now the indwelling Christ as the life-giving Spirit in us is now functioning as resurrection. Point C says, resurrection is the lengthening of the Lord's days. He will exist forever and ever in his resurrection.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen to you? We're going to experience resurrection, and forever and ever we will be living in resurrection. There'll have to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the center of it will be Christ as our resurrection. That's why I always say the best is ahead in our experience of the Lord. Jesus Christ today is the living one, the one who was in resurrection. And then we'll pause here on point two. For Christ to dispense life, he must be the living one. So in a very calm way, I ask you all the question. Today, have you been experiencing Christ dispensing himself into you? If you haven't, it's not too late. You don't have to wait till 9:30. You can start at this very moment to dispense life. At the beginning of every day with my wife and I praying to start a new day, one aspect is, Lord, another day of dispensing.
Amen.
We're just open to you. more dispense yourself into us. And while I'm thinking about it, I'm just making a side comment, because this is going to be the core of the message. As the Lord is dispensing life in us, He wants to reach the depths of our being. He doesn't want to stay just on the first side, first beginning. And what He needs, what He's praying for, and what He's working on for, is that He can have access to the depths of our being. Because there is inwardly a battle going on. We're not the one carrying out the battle. We're kind of like the battlefield. And that is, we have the Christ as our resurrection life mingled with our spirit. Our spirit is life. But our body is sin and death. And the soul is in between. And the indwelling Christ, as the life-giving spirit, wants to more and more saturate our soul. But the enemy, using a body of sin and death, also wants to control our soul. That is why, to help the Lord's precious function in this, is to open our being every day and to say, Lord, You have access to every part of my being.
Amen.
I'm not holding anything back. And You're being honest. And we're at various degrees according to our experience, but we have to begin somewhere, to begin to open ourselves with an exercised spirit.
Amen.
To receive the Lord's dispensing more and more into us. Okay, D, another crucial point. The importance of Christ being the living one is that He is living forever and is living in us. So let's consider this. He's living in us. This point doesn't say He's in us, which is the fact. He's living in us. And so we can honestly consider, to what extent are we opening to Him that He could be living in me? Not just to be here. And we're all familiar with this one verse in Ephesians 3. After Paul had prayed in a particular way, he was in a kind of prison. He went down on his navel, on here, and deeper than was praying. In the prayer that touched me, and every time it's like it's brand new. Christ is making His home in our heart. His home. Otherwise, this may sound rather strange. He's imprisoned in us. He's in our spirit. So now we have a mingled spirit. But the Lord wants to have access to our whole being. And so He wants to make His home in our heart. Not just visit, but a home. So if I'm on the weekend, I'm with a family in a certain place, we're having a conference, and then they say, this is your room. Well, I know it's the room for two nights. Your daughter was very kind that I could be in her room, but I realized I can't live here. Well, the Lord doesn't want to spend a weekend in your heart. Christ is making his home in our heart. And we can understand the words, not difficult. But again, I'm emphasizing on our daily experience, are we allowing the Lord to function in this way? I'm opening my inward parts that you're not living in me, but now you're living in the totality of my being with you. Living one, I'm repeating, is that he is living forever and is living in us. And inwardly, there's a kind of pray going up, because when your soul and your spirit are separated, you can do even two things in the same time. But I'm talking to you inwardly. I'm praying with the Lord that he will have access to live in each one of you. Amen. Not just to be here, but live there. Make his home in your heart. Just consider, we're talking about your heart, in your mind, in your memories. Are there not memories that you wish would just be gone? The Lord wants access to our head, to our this part, our mind. Then our emotion. It's not difficult for the sisters, but so many of the brothers, that part is pressed down. It's hard to let the feelings come out in the necessary way. But more and more, we will just pray to the Lord in the simple way. Lord, I turn my heart to you. I open my being to you. Live in me today. I know you're here, but I don't want you to be in a prison. I want you to have the access to not only be in me, but live in me. So one and two, he wants us to leave every kind of death and rise up to be the living church. He's praying for this, a living church. The more living we are, the more we are the testimony of the living Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we're coming to something in sections 3 and 4. They're brought in to help us have a fuller understanding of when Christ died and then was resurrected. Where did he go? And why did he go there? And what took place there? And so we will learn something regarding him, so it's objective. But I'm just letting you know ahead of time, he wants access to the depths of our being. To go to the deepest part of our being. But we'll mention that at the right time. In which also he, that is Christ, went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. And the subpoints will help us understand what this verse is saying. The spirits here refers not to the disembodied spirits of dead human beings held in Hades, but to the angels. Angels are spirits who fell through disobedience at Noah's time and are imprisoned in the pits of gloom, awaiting the judgment of the great day. Now, B and C explain this to some degree. After his death in the flesh, Christ is, in his living spirit, as his divinity, went to the abyss. Okay, this is a crucial word. We'll spend at least half an hour on this. And it may be new for a large number of you, even if some of us know a little bit when it comes to something of our experience. This is something unique, but it's something that we will have a deep experience of now or during the next year, not 2026, but a thousand, 1 year for God, 1,000 for us. Amen. Don't you rather understand and experience certain things now, not then? So after his death in the flesh, I'm repeating, Christ is his living spirit, as his divinity went to the abyss. But what is the abyss? It's, okay, on the physical side, like on the earth, it's the deepest, deepest place on the earth. So deep, you can't reach it. So the word in this physical way refers to something like that. But in the spiritual realm, it refers to something else. And we will also come to understand there's abyss deep in our being. And we need something more than just words to explain this word abyss, but to see what Christ did and what Christ is doing and what will be the effect of this. Okay, before I go further, I think it would be helpful to read 8 or 9 verses because I really like Acts 6:4, where the co-workers say, "We will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word." And so, to have these verses enable us to have the ministry of the word. Luke 8:31. They, that's the demons, entreated him not to order them to depart into the abyss. That's where the demons are sent. And that is out from which the Antichrist will come. Romans 10:7. Who will descend into the abyss? And we will see. This was Christ who went down to the abyss to deal with the evil things at that level. And now, verses all from Revelation. Okay, 9:1. I saw a star, Satan, and to him was given the key of the pit of the abyss. Verse 2, he opened the pit of the abyss. Verse 11, they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. And now there's a comment here. The angel of the abyss is the beast, the Antichrist, who will come out of the pit of the abyss. Maybe many of us, maybe even all of us, will be here during the last of the 70 years. 7 years. And we know at the end of those 7 years, we're in another realm. Christ has come visibly to change everything to the kingdom, and we'll be in another situation, the king, the kingdom. But before that, the angel in the abyss, we need to realize, is not just something that the Lord himself went through, but we need to realize the Antichrist, I hope, we're all here in the last 7 years. We'll all be here for 3.5 years. But those that are truly overcoming saints will be raptured after the first 3.5 years. And that would be marvelous if everyone here would be raptured. But they have to be mature in life, not just believers. But a vast majority of Christians will be staying here for the next 3.5 years. And we'll see in message 8, based upon chapter 12, I'm just peeking into it to bring it here, that we know from Revelation chapter 12, the overcoming saints will be raptured to the throne. And then that will cause a war between the angels, the powerful angels, and Satan and the demons. And he will be thrown down on the earth with all of his demons. Do you want to be on the earth with these all over the place? We want to be in another realm. Okay. So now we go back to chapter 11:7. The beast who comes up out of the abyss will make war. There will be the war of Armageddon. And that's where the evil powers will come at the end of this age. And then two verses from chapter 21 and then 3. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss. And then finally, cast him, Satan, into the abyss. So these are verses, but now we need to study what they mean and why this is a major part of message 2. There must be a reason that we're devoting energy and much time on this. So I read the verse again. I saw a star out of heaven falling to the earth, and to him was given the key of the abyss. The pit of the abyss. And now in A, but especially B, I'll explain why. That's one of the most important verses in the New Testament. But A does come before B. Okay? The star in Revelation 9:1 refers to Satan, who will be cast down from heaven to earth. The angels are likened to stars. Satan, as an archangel, was the day star. That was his name. Now, under B, Romans 10:7. Let us mention something from, I remember from 51 years ago, that I had, at brother's request, asked me to move from Detroit to right here. And he came down from Los Angeles to carry out the life study. And then I spent the next 24 years like a big animal going round and round, a big, what do you call them? Yeah. But his life was open to be able to eat while he's grinding around. And the Lord just applied it to me. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to do this kind of work. Life study 10, life study 50, life study 100, life study 500, on and on. And our dear brother Ed came in to do a portion of it as brotherly required. But that was 24 years. But there was this realization that while I'm like a big animal, I can take in what I'm laboring on. And so this is, and just before that started, in June of 1974, Brother Lee wrote his first footnote, which is based upon Romans 10:7. That's what I was referring to. And at that time, it was just he and I. And later that year, there were some brothers that had much more Greek. And so I just stepped aside and worked on something else. But here's the verse, and here's are the points. Who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. In Greek, the word rendered as abyss is abyssus. The word is used in Luke 8:31 in reference to the dwelling place of the demons. The Lord was casting out demons from a person so that he could be saved. And actually, the demons, somehow they talked back and forth. He said, please don't throw me into the abyss. So he did something else with them. So that's where Luke 3, this verse is related to. The dwelling place of the demons. They knew they would be brought there, but they didn't want to do it yet. And they knew it wasn't the time yet. And actually, the demons are still very active. But I'm not going to get into it. I just suggest when you wake up in the morning and you have all kinds of thoughts, I suggest in a strong way, as soon as these thoughts are getting into your head, you just turn and ask the Lord, is this from you? Is this my own mind functioning? Then you realize it's the demons pretending that you're thinking this. And so I hope now every time you wake up, you don't try to analyze. A lot of things are going on in your mind until you're fully awake, right? And you just say, Lord, you know the source. And then your mind will be clear. And your mind and your spirit will be in harmony. Okay, three. And also, it also occurs in Revelation 9, 1 and 2 and verse 11 to denote the place out of which the locusts, whose king is Apollyon, will come. You know the words, I don't want to ever see the locusts. I want to be raptured before that takes place. The earth is not going to be a pleasant place during the last 3.5 years. For in Revelation 11:7 and 17:8, it signifies the place out of which the beast, which is the Antichrist, will ascend. So just to make this somewhat clear, how do we know when the last 7 years? How do we know? Well, something's going to happen. And that is, when the Temple Mount, something's going to happen to remove everything that's there. And then hundreds of religious Jews will be there, rejoicing. We're going to rebuild the temple. And if you go there, there's a place you'll find out they have prepared everything. But they have to get a certain kind of animal that can only last 1 year. But they have a way to do it. But when they decide we're going to rebuild the temple, so many countries around them have a different religion. And altogether, there will be attack that country. But there will be, and maybe he's already developing, a powerful man in Europe somewhere. Extremely powerful. And so the leader of Israel had contact with him. And they made an agreement. And then he was behind the scene to rebuild the temple. But then after the first 3.5 years were finished, someone tried to kill him. Right? In the back of his head. But he's going to recover. And when he recovers, he'll become the Antichrist. Because the evil power is not in him. And all the dear saints, they're going to go through the worst time in their history. This gives us the kind of the situation. So that's why these verses I just read to you, they signify the place out of which the beast, which is the Antichrist, will ascend. So you see that the abyss is a negative place. And actually, during the 1,000 years, Satan will be put down to the abyss for 1,000 years. And so it's altogether a kind of the source of all the evil things. And they come out and they attack. In Revelation 21 and 3, it specifies the place into which Satan will be cast and imprisoned during the millennium. In Romans 10:7, abyss, the word abyss, points to the place Christ visited after his death and before his resurrection. Which place, according to Acts 24 and 27, is Hades? For Acts 24 and 27 reveal that Christ went into Hades after he died and rose from that place in his resurrection. Now I read point 7, and then I'll pause with the rest of the outline, because we will focus on something personal with each one of us, what will take place with every one of us. What have we been talking about? This abyss is necessarily, but it's all outward. But something is going to take place in the depths of your being. And you need to know there is such a thing and what needs to take place. And so I'm pausing here. No one ended. It's about our abyss. Okay, I just have to tell you something that happened. And it's not dramatic, but it's something particular. This is me. I was living and serving in Texas. And I was going home for lunch. Some reason, while I'm driving, I just was talking to the Lord about an abyss. What is that? And how did you deal with it? And then inwardly he said something like this: I'm going to deal with your abyss, your being. And so the word abyss refers to the deepest part. I mentioned already before, it's so deep you can't reach it, but you know it's there. And we have to realize that's where the enemy is. That's where the demons are. That is from the Antichrist will come. Again, that's the objective side. But now this is a tender point. I referred to already Christ making his home in our heart. But in order for him to do this, you need to have access to go down to the depths of your being that we have the Spirit here, as I mentioned, on this side, the body of sin and death, but the soul is in between. And in his shepherding of us, and he's dispensing himself into us, he wants to reach the depths of our soul, beyond something we even know. And I have a very deep concern, but not in a critical way, in a loving feeling. There are just so many saints in the Lord's recovery. They're all precious. We love the same. There's not one kind of love for this person, different love for that. It's all the same. But realizing again and again that my heart is very stirred up, there's time of deep concern. Their relationship with the Lord is still shallow. And in our country, in the United States, it's really, people are shallow. But now that we are born again and we're consecrated, we're to be developed in a way now, we're not governed by the culture around us. But we will realize, Lord, there is something called the abyss. And it's in the depths of my being. And Lord, I ask you, while I'm still alive, while I'm still here, I'm giving you the opportunity to saturate every part of my soul. I'm not holding anything back from me. And on the one hand, in our fellowship with the Lord, and because we have faith in him, and we trust in him, and are abiding with him, we open ourselves as much as we can. But what needs to take place, and there will be certain events that will take place personally that God can have access to your own abyss, the deepest part of your soul. And it won't just be light shining on you early one morning. May the Lord cover all of us. The Lord will, God in his wisdom and his authority, in the way, in order to have his children grow to maturity, he arranged for all kinds of events that take place. And I'm just giving you an example. I don't have the right to talk about anybody else. But in 2022, during the summer training, I had a very severe pain in my stomach. And I could take a certain amount of suffering about it, but then it was unbearable. So I contacted Brother Rick. I said, take me to the ER as soon as you can. And they did, and they brought me in right away. And then the doctor said, well, the reason for which you came in, we'll take care of later. But you need surgery a quadruple surgery on your heart as soon as possible. This is a matter of life or death. And when I heard this, there was only peace and only a feeling. This is a body matter. My wife had the same feeling. And they had to do kind of preparation for this. And even when they came early in the morning, about 5 a.m., to take me somewhere, then went into the room for the surgery. We'll be there, about 10 people in there. I just had the feeling, I love you all. You know, I'll see you when I wake up. And 3.5 hours later, I was being recovered, and the doctor came in. He said, this was a 10. But here's the point. I was wide awake for 48 hours. 48 hours. And what was going back and forth was the Lord going deeper and deeper into my own abyss, into the deepest part of my being, to make it known. So he did this, and I confessed. Then he dispensed. Then he showed more. I repented. It continued for 48 hours to have, then afterward, there were several weeks, but he just had to recover at home. But the Lord had access to my abyss. But it was not just for me to be more mature in life, but allow me to say honestly, this, for the Lord to be faithful in ministering to the saints. Many of you remember from our Tuesday morning recently, I gave you the difference. And not that you do something right away, but you eventually will need to make a decision for the development of your Christian life and for your serving Him. And we know from Ephesians chapter 4, all the members of the body have ministry. Every man, we all do. It may not be up here, but you have the real ministry. And so, if we can give Him the access for this, no matter what it costs, that I was reading again this one, I wouldn't call it it was just a list of 19 points, and the title was My Deep Concern. The Lord was saying, this is my deep concern when I passed away. What will the saints do? What will the next generation do? And he had this deep concern that the saints would not take the way of gift, but the way of ministry. Amen. Now, I'm not going to name anyone, and I don't even talk to the brothers about it. The Lord will make it known in His way, in His time. Brothers may be in their 50s. And deep within, I realize, before a long time, you're going to be standing here, continuing with the ministry. You have made the decision not a gift, but ministry. And ministry costs you. And when Brother Lee gave this message in the summer of 1967, I never heard this before. But based upon verses from 2 Corinthians, and then he, and this was one chapter in a book and one page where I return every now and then. He said, you need to make a choice between gift or ministry. And the ministry involves the cross, suffering, and resurrection life. And I didn't know anything. But deep within, I realized I have to make this choice. And I say, Lord, I can't do anything about it, but I choose the way of ministry. And I know Brother Lee deep within, this what was deep in him. When he was passing away, he wrote a letter and he realized in a blended way, he was so encouraged. There are a group of brothers that will be blended together to carry out the Lord's work and the ministry. And so I honestly believe this is the indwelling Christ. Almost crying out, but not with judgment, but with deep concern. When Brother Lee, in that list of writing, and I just don't have the liberty to give the whole thing away. I can't, but I can share about it. His deep concern was, what will the next generation do? Will they continue? Or will they be degraded and eventually become part of Christianity? Then he said, then probably the Lord will have to go to another part of the earth with a group of people that would be fully open to them. But we're in the age of grace, and I believe the Lord's deep desire is he will continue with this generation. You're not too young to take this way. And anyone that are elder, you know, I'm an 80 plus 6. Maybe there's some 96 that may say, oh, it's a young guy up there. But dear saints, it's not too late to grow to maturity. Don't believe the lies from Satan because you're old, because you just came into the Lord's recovery at an older person, or once you were in the Lord's recovery and then for some reason you just left for 20 years and then you come back through the recovery, then the enemy attacks and says, yes, but you wasted 20 years. You'll never make it. And I remember being in contact with this brother. Well, put the enemy to shame when he will function as the sevenfold spirit. Amen. He will recover those 20 years. Amen. And you have the opportunity to grow to maturity and be a co-king. Amen. So everyone here, If this is your first training, or you're an older person, middle age, just come to the Lord as you are and give Him, to Him, the access to the depths of your being. You just say, Lord, I give myself to You without limitation. Do what only You can do. And then don't try to do anything. Just experience Christ, enjoy Christ, and express Christ. And I have the faith which originates from Christ Himself. Everyone in this room will now has the opportunity to grow to maturity and to be a co-king in the coming age.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
This would remind me what verse did I just read out of B. What number? Huh? Okay, what I'll do is I'm going to go back to C and come there all the way. All the way from there. God, Christ abolished death on the cross, and He overcame Hades in His resurrection. Although death tried its best to hold Christ, it was powerless to do so.
Amen.
Christ is both God and resurrection, possessing the indestructible life. We all have an indestructible life.
Amen.
Satan will be destructed, but we have an indestructible life because He is such an ever-living one. Death is not able to hold Him.
Amen.
Christ delivered Himself to death. But death had no way to detain Him. Instead, death was defeated by Him, and He rose up within it. Christ has defeated death. That's why we sang that one hymn. Doesn't mean people won't pass away physically, but on the spiritual and psychological way. The main point is how we end. How we end. And I know some very old brothers at the time, 20 years older, a very strong character. But they had consecrated themselves when they were about 22. And the Lord didn't have a way to get through thoroughly. But He gave him the opportunity. He had became sick in a way that cannot be recovered. But He would give him a few months. And during those months, the Lord had access to the depths of His being. And everything, the crucial matter is how we end. And when they passed away, they were mature. They will be a co-king. I appreciate that. But deep within me is that to cry out to the saints, we don't have to wait until we're in the 80s and incurably ill. You can do it decades earlier.
Yes.
There's just a cry within. Lord, make thousands of saints mature all over the earth.
Amen.
I'm just crying with hope and faith. It's, again, I say, it's not too soon. And it's not too late.
Amen.
The Lord knows exactly what to do. Amen. K5. With Christ, therefore, death has no sting. And Hades has no power.
Amen.
D, because Christ is the one in the church who is the holder of the keys of death and Hades, death and Hades should not have any power over us.
Amen.
The Lord is dispensing more faith into us that we can simply believe this. Death and Hades should not have any power over us.
Amen.
And on behalf of all of us, I say this personally, but for all of us, we have the power to conquer death and reign with as a king in the coming age.
Yeah.
It's really going to happen. If it is impossible for us to deal with death, we simply do not have the ability to handle it. Whenever death enters, many will be overcome by it. So in other words, more and more, we don't trust ourselves. We nullify that when we realize the indwelling Christ, the all-inclusive Christ, has the power of resurrection. And inwardly, in my life and my experience, He will apply His powerful life over death. What is impossible for us is more than possible as the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
That is why we have no fear of death.
Amen.
I've been with a number of saints in their last hours even, but they had finished the course. When they're raptured, when they are resurrected, and they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I have no doubt the Lord will say, "Well done. Reign with me in the coming age." This is going to happen all over the earth with saints. KG in the subpoints. If we give the Lord Jesus the ground, the opportunity, and the free way to move and act among us, both death and Hades will be under His control. So look at this, please. If we give the Lord Jesus the ground, He won't just take it. We say, "Lord, I give you the ground, I grant you the access. I want to give you opportunity. I want to give you the free way to move and act among us, among me, among me. Both death and Hades will be under his control.
Amen.
When the Lord Jesus does not have the ground in the church, death immediately becomes prevailing and Hades becomes powerful to hold the dead ones. Now look at this. When the Lord Jesus does not have the ground in the church, I understand the words, but I believe the leading brothers and the co-workers will have a clear understanding. The ground in the church, because you have this function. And so because of the ground in the church, if it doesn't have, immediately death becomes prevailing and Hades becomes powerful to hold the dead ones. And so in the church, we want the ground in the church to be under the Lord's direction. Then life will saturate and death will be defeated.
Amen.
Two, I just put on the paper 3 stars. I thought this point is so crucial. It is crucial for us to see that Christ has the keys, the authority of death and Hades. It is crucial for us to see. So inwardly we should pray, inwardly, spiritually, to see. It is crucial for me to see, Lord, that Christ has the keys, the authority of death and Hades. The indwelling Christ has authority and the power over death and Hades.
Amen.
Death is subject to him, and Hades is under his control.
Amen.
Then look how the outline and the message ends. We should praise the Lord that Christ has the keys of death and of Hades.
Amen.
Brothers, read the verse. And then sisters, read the verse. Then we'll all read the verse. And then I'll end with a little suggestion. Brothers.
We should praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord that Christ has the key of death and of Hades. We should praise the Lord that Christ has the key of death and of Hades.
Let's praise the Lord with our whole being. Just pray for about 30 seconds with someone nearby.